I don't give a hoot. How far off the course we are, quartermaster? What do you want me to do, risk bringing her around in a sea like this? We'll run before the storm till she blows herself out.
Passage of the Tangmar. The story of a ship and its cargo of death.
And another thing. If Major Basil Challoner shows his face on my bridge again, you have my permission to chuck him off. For his own sake, I hope he gives me sea room for the rest of this voyage.
I could hear the skipper's voice above the storm as I left the bridge and went below to talk with Sharon Challoner. If the Major intended to continue making all our lives miserable, then he had to be stopped now, before we came face to face with a tragedy that would have nothing to do with the Wherryman estate. We were 17 days out from Sydney, bound for Jamaica via Panama, and the storm was getting progressively worse. I stumbled along the tilting companionway to the passengers' cabins, my mind concerned only with the plight of Sharon Challoner, who had grown up in the shadow of her father's hatred and possessiveness. As I knocked on the door of her cabin, I'd even forgotten that there was a killer aboard the Tangmar. A killer who'd already tried to kill me once.
Is that you, Dirk?
Yes.
Come in.
Sorry I couldn't get down earlier, but I've only just come off watch. Everything all right?
If you mean by that, has Father been bothering me again? He hasn't. I imagine he's gone back to his cabin to drink away the ignominy he'd feel of being hustled off the bridge. Oh, Dirk, I'm frightened. If he gets hold of the gun...
Sharon, he won't try to kill me or anyone else.
How can you be sure?
I can't, but I've got a feeling that he wants his gun back for a different reason.
What? Why, he threatened to kill you. You know he did.
To scare you into doing as he wants, to force you to remain with him.
But we had all that out 2 nights ago. And although we had a dreadful scene, I thought he'd understood at last. He was quite pleasant for him when I left him. Since then, he stayed in his cabin. When I knocked, he told me to go away. Until today, when he burst in here and said he was going up to the bridge to kill you.
Knowing very well that you'd rush up after him and see that nothing happened anyway.
But he's been just locked in his cabin drinking, Dirk.
While he worked out this last desperate method of making sure that you didn't get away from him. Well, I'm going in to see Charna now.
No, I thought I'd find you in here, Kendall. I told you to stay away from my daughter.
Father!
My very first day aboard this tub, I told you to come to me if there's anything you wanted to know. That was an order, Kendall. An order that you chose to disobey.
I was on my way to your cabin, Challoner.
Major Challoner. Major.
Father, you're drunk.
Of course I'm drunk. Why shouldn't I be? My own daughter parading in front of the offices of this tramp steamer like a...
Shut up!
Were you speaking to me, sir?
I was, and I'll repeat it. Shut up. There's been enough tragedy on this ship. I'm not going to stand by and watch you cause another.
You have no right to interfere between my daughter and I.
I asked him to. I need someone's help.
Oh, I'm glad your mother isn't alive to hear you talk like that, Sharon. You mean you turn to a man like Kendall? A man who has no right to the uniform he wears? An amateur? Like all the other men who walk over the graves of those who deserve promotion. Men who have given their lives to their country. And for what? To be discarded. Thrown to one side. Oh, I've seen you 100 times, Kendall, in 100 different places, fattening your own chances of promotion on the experience you gain from trained officers.
You're not making sense, Major Challoner.
You couldn't be expected to understand. Have anything to drink in here, Sharon?
No.
Don't lie to me,
Challoner. Like... Listen to me.
Are you still here? Don't you know when you're not wanted?
I've told you, Father. I want Dirk here.
Dirk? Dirk? Did you give her permission to use your Christian name, Kendall?
You've had your say, Major Challoner, and now whether you like it or not, you'll listen to me. Sit down. I said sit down! Ah!
My daughter doesn't think I would kill you, Kendall. She thinks I want that money from Victor Wherryman's estate too badly. Well, she's wrong.
On the contrary, you wanted your gun back to play your last ace in your attempt to keep Sharon with you.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
Then I'll set it up for you. The threat to murder me was only a bluff. You wanted your gun back for a different reason. A sword of Damocles to suspend over Sharon's head. Suicide, Major Challoner. You intended to make her believe that if she carried out her intention of living her own life, you'd commit suicide. Isn't that right?
Go on.
You never would have done it, of course. Because if you had, she'd be free. You've tried everything else. Threats and pleading, all to no avail. This was to be the final card, and you sat in your cabin working it out while you drank enough courage to go up and see Captain Goddard.
I've never needed to drink myself into a condition where I could handle riffraff.
With Sharon chained by the knowledge that if she left you, you'd commit suicide. You had the game neatly played.
Is this true, Father?
Of course not.
You're lying, Major. And you're afraid to face the reason why you won't let Sharon go her own way.
So you think you know that, too?
Yes. While Sharon plays the dutiful daughter, there's no chance of her dying as her mother did, is there?
Don't ever speak of Catherine. Do you hear me? You have no right, either of you. All right, Kendall. But I'll still have the last laugh. There's a killer on this ship. Not someone like me who just makes threats, but a killer who's already struck twice. And I hope next time it gets to you, Kendall. Gets to you before you find out his identity. And I pray that this time there won't be any Lee Blake to take the bullets for you.
Don't you think I've enough to do in the engine room, Skipper, without having to fight my way up to the bridge in weather like this?
I'll take the wheel, quartermaster. Get on over to the other side of the bridge, will you, and keep a lookout.
Aye, aye, Skipper.
No need for the crew to know what a stubborn old fool you are, Cregan.
I don't care who knows. I'll not be accused of committing a crime I've done my best to prevent. And while I'm about it, I'd rather you didn't ask me to stand guard over the passengers in the future. If anything else happened, I'd be the first man that Kendall would suspect.
For Pete's sake, man, I asked you to come to the bridge because I wanted to talk to you about the ship. How are the engines taking this pounding?
They'll be all right, providing you don't keep asking me to leave them on fool errands like this.
Chief, we all know the kind of man that Jones is.
And he accused me of being a murderer.
Well, me too. Have you forgotten that?
How you feel about it is your own affair. I can only answer for myself.
Yeah. And so you lock yourself in the engine room and won't have a sociable word with anyone, including me.
Well, while I'm down there, I can't be accused of anything. I've got an alibi the whole time.
Oh, pops, it's guts. Oh, all right, forget it. I suppose I can't blame you.
Have you finished now?
Listen, Chief, if you won't stand your turn as guard, then it's only making Kendall's job harder.
Look, he'll never find the killer, and we both know it. The job's too big for the lad. Look. He should be defending the reputation of innocent men as well. That's what the police are for.
In the name of... What was he supposed to do, gag Jones?
That's not a bad idea, that.
Get on back to your engines, Chief.
Thank you. And you've warned me again, Skipper. Try using the voice pipe. That's what it's for.
Why, you old... All right, quartermaster, come back here and take the wheel. And stop flapping those big ears of yours. Use your eyes for lookout, or didn't you know that?
Come in. Oh, Doctor. Something wrong?
No, not yet.
Have you been up on deck? You're wet through, man.
Yes, it seems like the best place to do some thinking.
That's what I've been trying to do. Better hang that slicker behind the door. Look! Oh.
Here, let me give you a hand.
Oh, I'm getting tired of picking things up.
Yes, do you think you'll weather it all right?
Well, as long as there aren't too many like that. I've seen bigger seas. You go overboard in this, we never find you. What's on your mind?
Well, it's Alona. I don't suppose you know that we're engaged to be married.
What? Well, congratulations.
Yes, thank you, but that's just the point. This murderer, you've got to find him. I couldn't bear it if anything happened to Alona now.
Oh, I know how you feel, Martin, but... Well, look, you're going to learn something about these murders that I'm probably a fool to tell you, so... So far, only Goddard and myself know about this. It's the Slavin killing. He died at the hands of a man who's just been arrested. I received word from London from Colonel Hacking.
What?
That's why I'm more in the dark than I was before. While I thought Miller and Blake and Slavin were killed by the one person, I had a theory to work on.
Yes, and you had a motive. One of us, one of the beneficiaries who didn't want Slavin or Miller to collect their share of the Wherryman money.
And the same person killing Blake in mistake for me in order to stop the investigation and have a free hand in wiping out the others. The motive was greed.
Yes, but don't you see, Dirk, this alters the whole thing. There's got to be another motive. There's a second killer. Why not a second motive? Revenge, hatred. My belief that this murderer, whoever it is, wanted you to think that greed was the motive, to throw you off the scent while he or she killed, to satisfy some insane desire for revenge.
I sat staring up at Dr. Martin Lawler and wondered if he, too, was trying to throw me off the killer's trail in this passage of the Tangmar.